Tonight is about each other. Tonight is about relentless football. And anything about to touch the football, they get knocked out tonight. Let's do what we do best on three. One, two, three.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Ravens Nation, to a brand new edition of The Call. What's going on, guys? This is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk about anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. It's a podcast about your Super Bowl champion, Baltimore Ravens. I say that with a little worry right now because it's not like these guys don't look like Super Bowl champions at this point in the season. I think the entire city of Baltimore, the entire state of Maryland, I think everyone is pretty confused about what is going on with this team right now. But this just wouldn't be The Call without my buddy Josh. What's going on, man?
Hey, guys. Brandon, welcome back. I know it's a rough 2 weeks, man. We missed we took a week off because of the bye week, and we're back. And, wow. I mean, there's nothing really much to say. I mean, we have a lot to cover in a two-week span. Wow. I mean, 3-5? Who would have thought that after all the excitement? I mean, obviously, we talked it up before that. You know, let's beat the Browns. Let's come out of this thing. And wow, I mean, we didn't even look different, did we?
No, I mean, we were all hoping after this bye week that the Ravens were going to address their problems and figure things out. But this game against the Browns, I mean, I've seen a meme kind of floating around the internet of Joe Flacco, and it says, "Nothing says elite like losing to the Cleveland Browns." It's kind of the thing right now for this team. I don't know where they're at, but the defense kind of looked flat. The offensive line was non-existent. Joe did not have a good day. I mean, everything about this team looked very poor this past game against the Browns. But let's talk about this offensive line, because I think that's where some of the major problems are. Joe didn't have a good day because Joe didn't have enough people working for him, enough people blocking for him. But again, the running game as well, also just not there. Where is Ray Rice this season?
Well, before we get to Ray Rice, I mean, to answer your question, where are we at? Our pressure against the wall is where we're at. I mean, I actually said this came down to Cleveland because when Cincinnati lost, there was the door open and the Ravens didn't take advantage of it. Now it's do or die. Now the season comes down to Sunday at 1 o'clock. But you're right. Where is Ray Rice? And it's fine. I mean, how many Browns defenders do we count every time the ball snapped or in the back of this formation or the flags to throw the football? This is getting ridiculous, man. I mean, you know, Ray Rice, I don't know if you looked at the stats, Brandon, but 259 yards. It's ridiculous. At this point last year, Ray Rice had near around 800 yards rushing, near 1,000. He's not even past 300. And I mean, I know he's receiving, but Calvin Johnson had 336 receiving yards in one game. And I know it's rushing receiving, but just for player's sake and statistics, but Joe Flacco was the leading rusher in Cleveland last Sunday. He had 25 yards of rushing. So, we don't have RG3 or Cam Newton or Michael Vick running around out there, or Colin Kaepernick. It's Joe Flacco, who's not known for his legs, and we have Ray Rice and Bernard Pierce, a 1-2 punch, and they're averaging 2.7 yards a carry. It's just ridiculous, man. I mean, our best weapon is Ray Rice, and we can't run the offense through him. Joe Flacco is every time he's a poor guy, man. I mean, you know, call him a lead or not, I don't care. I mean, he picked up his card last week. I don't care. And everybody kept talking about the contract, but poor guy. You know, you got a $100 million quarterback running around, and he's running for his life. It comes down to protection. If you're not protecting these guys, why fork over the cash? You got to protect these guys. I mean, you know, obviously Peyton Manning's neck, that was a different story. But, you know, other than that, I mean, I've never really seen Tom Brady hurt other than his knee injury. He hasn't really got hit. You know, these teams take care of their quarterback. They put some guys in the trenches to do that. It's just ridiculous. I was watching some games last week, including the Monday night game, and even in the I don't know if you saw the highlights of any games, Brandon, but no. Fortunately, we had obviously Pittsburgh lost last week, but during commercials, obviously the TVs that I was watching at, they had the Pittsburgh New England game, okay, and New England run the ball, and there were holes wide open in that line. they're making the holes for the running backs, and they're getting 6, 7, 8 yards a clip, and you wonder why their average is 4 or 5 yards a carry and 2.7. Brandon, it's ridiculous. The offensive line is horrid. It's atrocious. It makes me sick, man. I mean, I don't know what gives. I don't know what has to. There's no urgency. They just don't look like they want it. And obviously, the Browns played not to lose the game. They played to win the game. And I want to break this down for you. Maybe you can agree or disagree. I want to hear your thoughts on this. But, you know, obviously it came down to the defense couldn't get them off the field in that final drive. When the Browns went for it 4th and 1, here's my perspective. If everybody, including myself, thought the Browns were going to lay it down, run it 3 times, punt the ball, Ravens are going to spend their time out to put the ball back in 1.5 minutes, we'll probably tie the game or win it. It'll be that easy. But the Browns said, you know what? No. We're going to beat these guys. They went for it in the 4th down, did a gutsy call, a bootleg rollout, threw it across the field. It was a 1st down. I think it was a 5-yard catch. 1st down, game over. Obviously, they kicked a field goal, and we had like 30, 20 seconds left in the game. So the Browns played to win the game, or not to lose it, but to win it. The Ravens usually play to lose it. They'll play conservative. Oh, we have a 3-point lead. They'll run it 3 straight times, punt it. And if the Browns would have gotten the ball, they would have went down and scored and won. Because it's just the Ravens right now are getting away from their game plan, and it's puzzling, it's mind boggling, and it's also hard to watch. But obviously, as avid fans we are, we'll always stick behind this team no matter what. Because obviously, with success comes struggles, and then success again. I mean, we've been playing at a high level for 5, 6 years now. You can't sustain it. I mean, obviously, in the other major sports, sometimes even the empires crumble. And the dynasties fall, and Harbaugh wanted to build a dynasty here, but right now we're in rebuild mode because it's spotty play at best. It's got to stop. The line's in shambles, and I mean, obviously, I can rant on and on and on, but I'm disappointed. But I mean, I hold faith. You know, it's a great season. We had her here last year, but I mean, it's almost like what more to add? But it's just really bad.
Yeah, the team last year, it was a team that always looked like they were going to get as many touchdowns or as many points as they possibly could. If they got down the field and they only were able to get 3 points, that didn't, you know, get into their head too much. It didn't keep them down. They went for, you know, they were like, all right, the next drive, we'll get a touchdown at that point. We'll get 7 points on the next drive. We'll work towards it. And it kind of was like a slower paced game. But this, I don't know. It seems like the offensive line especially just isn't there. It looks like Marshall Yanda doesn't know what's going on. Michael Orr isn't doing his job. Bryant McKinney's gone. Kelechi Osemele is injured. He's out for the rest of the season. These are guys that I don't understand. It's not like the running game here is new. That's the thing. Ray Rice has been here for a while. He's proven how he can play. So you would think that these guys would know how to work with him. Maybe the other teams are catching on to how Ray Rice works and how the offensive line works. But I don't know. I don't know how to cure this team right now. I don't know how to fix it because these guys worked hard last year and they're not really doing it this year. I mean, everybody's talking about Joe and his big contract and he's not having an elite year like he should be and everything like that. But I mean, you gotta have the support of your offensive line. You gotta have time and you gotta get your receivers open. The receivers also have to get open down the field so he's not just throwing it and nowhere, you know. He's been sacked. I mean, I can't even count how many times this season, which is pretty unheard of, you know, for any quarterback. I mean, he shouldn't be sacked, you know, getting sacked 5 times or more a game. That's just not how it's supposed to work. But for a team that looked like in the off season that they were transitioning from a defensive team to an offensive team, and they were trying to make their offensive line the best it could be, they've really fallen short this season, which is really strange given the fact that that's what you were trying to transition to. I guess you could say it's still a transition time and that you could have to give it a full season, but I don't know. I mean, the NFL season is a short season, so you don't really have a lot of time to adjust, and that's why you got to be a professional about it. But yeah, I don't know what else to say about this offensive line. I think right now that we know that there's a lot of talent on the line, whether or not some of the new guys are adjusting and kind of picking up the pieces where Kelechi and Bryant McKinney kind of left off. But I mean, to me, it just seems like these guys don't have any heart. They're not playing as hard as they could be.
No, and it, excuse me, Brandon, it almost comes down to whether did the team slack off because, you know, obviously there was an extra push, and with losing the AFC title game 2 years ago and we had to get back, and we knew we were a Super Bowl team, and obviously we went back to Super Bowl and we won it. You know, maybe now it's just like, okay, we want it now we can stop working now. It's almost like, it's like that. It's like, they got the prize, now, and then it's just, it's almost like, what now? You know, we were champions, now it's okay. You know, we'll slack off or stop working now, let somebody else take it, we're going to go under 500. It's almost like, don't stop the success, man. I mean, if it was all working and you love that saver, I mean, I know talk is talk and it's all filler, but sometimes you almost question the players themselves when they're talking to the media. Are they just doing it to fill in, to give the media what and us fan base what we want to hear? Or are they really meaning what they say? Some of them are like, yeah, we want it again. We want to taste that again. Or do you really? Because obviously it looks like Cleveland wants to make the playoffs. Obviously Cincinnati's in a good position to make playoffs. Obviously Pittsburgh's having a horrible year anyway. So, and they're right behind us. I mean, we're cellar dwellers. I mean, who'd have thought that? I mean, obviously Thanksgiving's in 3 weeks, and who'd have thought coming in, you know, Pittsburgh Ravens Thanksgiving night, that was going to be a marquee matchup. Now it looks like a battle of cellar dwellers. I mean, it's still going to be a great matchup, divisional rivals. That's going to be great. I mean, obviously I'll be there rocking them on. It's going to be a great, great environment. But it just sucks in general because it's just, we know the quality of football they have now. They also go almost like 6-2 or 7-1 the rest of the way to even have a chance at the playoffs. Obviously, it starts with a win on Sunday against the division rival Bengals here. So it. I don't know what gets, but the season, it's not a total loss. I mean, obviously we can rebuild for next year. I just look at it this way. We're not Jacksonville Jaguars. I mean, they're horrible. I mean, there was a joke going around. I mean, obviously Peyton Manning threw 7 touchdowns against us in week 1. Obviously Nick Foles threw 7 touchdowns against the Raiders this past weekend. And the Jaguars only have 7 passing touchdowns all year. So there's a kind of joke around that. Obviously, they're winless, and Tampa Bay's 0-8. So, hey, again, guys, it could be worse. We're 3-5. Obviously, if you look back at the games, one or two plays we could have had the Packers at home. Joe Flacco doesn't throw 5 interceptions against the Bills, and obviously, E.J. Manuel got hurt. Obviously, they have quarterback issues. If we would have caught them at the right time or even played well there, there's another win. I mean, I said this 2 weeks ago. The Ravens were one or two plays away from being a 5-1 football team instead of a 2-2, 2-3 kind of. That's how the NFL is. You just got to make the plays that the other teams don't make, and who makes the most plays and scores the most points wins the game. And the Ravens are just making mistakes. They're not blocking. They're not running routes. They're not catching footballs. I think right now the only player, the two best players on each team are wearing 5. Joe Flacco is the best player in offense, and Terrell Suggs is the best player on defense. I mean, I think he's notched a sack in, what, 5 straight games at least. I think he's had a sack in every game this year. He's wrecking crew. He had 3 sacks in 1 game at one point. I mean, and he even had a sack on the opening play. I said, okay, the Ravens come out. I thought I was coming out with swagger. So, okay, Ravens come out on defense. Don't just get the sack. They go 3 and out. We're back to business. And then it just falls apart. And you're sitting there wondering, what the heck, man? So, Brandon, I don't really know going into Cincinnati. I mean, I wish I had the confidence. I mean, I still have the confidence, but this is the kind of game where you don't know where it's going to go. Can the Ravens bounce back at home? Who knows? I mean, you know, Cincinnati's got the weapons, and obviously they lost players. I mean, Geno Atkins out for the year. That's a big loss for them. I mean, they have 3 or 4 defensive starters out for them. So, I mean, they have some losses. Obviously, AJ Green's going to give us fits. I mean, it's going to come down to, again, who's going to make the better plays? But Cincinnati owns us, and we still got to play them at the end of the year. And if we can get to 4-5 and go to Chicago, I mean, obviously, you get a 2-game winning streak. You're 5-5. You come back at home to play the Jets, and then Pittsburgh back-to-back at home. Who knows? If they go on a tear and win 4 straight, they're 7-5 back in the mix. But, again, you know, we got to take care of our business. If we can win out all the home games and go a winning record on their own. I mean, I'm not trying to sound overly optimistic here, take it one game at a time, but given the schedule they have, Brandon, if you look, I mean, Chicago right now is a playoff team. They're 5-3. They're tied for first place in the North. Jets are beatable because we don't know who's going to show up. I mean, the Jets could beat us at home, but it is a home game. Geno Smith's a rookie, but the Jets are going to play us off. The Vikings come to town. If we can stop AP, you know, they only have to get 1 win on the year. So, And it's just, it comes down to, can we take care of the business we need to in front of us? But you got to get hot. I mean, I remember a couple years ago, there were some playoff teams that went on some tears. Remember the Redskins last year? They were the same spot we are. I think they were one or two games under 500, won like six or seven in a row, and won their division. I mean, we happened in 2000 for the Ravens. They were a 5-4 football team. They were 5-1 at one point, lost three straight, and won seven straight. I mean, as long as you get hot at the end of the year, and I actually heard and read up on this, the Ravens the last 2 years the last 2 or 3 years under Harbaugh, I think are like 8-1 in the month of November. So obviously November and December sits well for the Ravens' history. We have a lot of home games backloaded on the schedule. So November and December is where you separate yourselves from the good and the bad. So it starts in Cincinnati, man. And we got to break down this matchup because it's going to be a tough one. And me and you are going to be at the game, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, we're going to be at the game.
We got to do our report for our Lot H, and we're going to have some fun rooting on the Ravens hard. I mean, obviously, I plan to be horse on Monday. I said, I don't care if fans are selling prediction. I said, I ignore all that because you know what? I plan to be horse. I plan to use every ounce of fandom I have in my heart to root this team on the victory because this is a, if last week was a must win and we lost, this is it. You lose, I say season's over. Look forward to next year. Obviously, play the games out, you know, play them well. Obviously, I'm not mailing it in, but I'm going to root them hard for a win, and I can't wait to get down to it at the bank. But it's going to be fun to watch, man. I mean, I can't wait to see, we got to be loud. I mean, obviously, we haven't been home in a month with the two away games and a bye week thrown in. We haven't been at the bank in a month, so I think the crowd's going to get really into it. Obviously, we have some good home games coming up. We need to root this team hard to victory. So if we can get it going, let's go and let's find out what we can do. I mean, I'm primed and ready for an action-packed game. I mean, we just got to had the matchups. I mean, if we can stop AJ Green, I think we can pin it on them to at least stop their offensive game plan. So it really comes down to no turnovers. Can we execute the game plan? I mean, if the pass block and the run blocking can get better up front, that is a major issue right now. And that is so glaring because obviously it holds Joe Flacco upright. It allows Ray Rice to find his lane. It just seems like there's no, I don't know if you see this, but it's like when Rice gets the ball, there's no oomph. There's no hit the holes hard, hit the line hard. It's just mundane, blah football.
Yeah, that's what it really looks like. And But before we go any further, there's two names I want to bring up, especially with this this Browns game that we had last week. I want to bring up one guy on offense, Marlon Brown. He seems to be the shining star of this season for the Ravens. He's had a great season. He was an undrafted free agent. This is his rookie season. He's played every game. He had one touchdown, or was it two touchdowns last week? And he had the 2-point conversion. So the guy really had a great week. He's had a great season with the Ravens so far. So I'm very proud, and I like the stuff that is coming out of Marlon Brown. If anything, when we go to the game this coming Sunday for the Bengals, I just want to see Marlon Brown. I want to see him in person and see what else he can do because he's a guy that definitely does look hungry. Now the other guy I want to bring up real quick is Ahedibo. Hedgebo, I think that's how you say his name, on the defense. This guy, he's very intense, and he's a guy that I like having on defense, but he reminds me a lot of Bernard Pollard because Bernard Pollard and him have a lot of the same characteristics. They're very intense. They're in your face. They play a lot of defense, but they're easily hot underneath the collar. They will easily get in somebody else's face and kind of cause a little bit of trouble. Do you see James Ahedibo as more of do you see him as a pro or a con for this defensive line? Because with what good he has, he also has a lot of bad with getting in people's faces, and I'm worried that he's going to go a little bit too far, and he's going to get some of those personal foul penalties and affect this team that way.
I agree with you on that. I mean, I see a little bit of Pollard, the swagger there, the physicalness, and I think that's what the Ravens lack all around on offensive defense. There's no tough guy. Obviously, and I don't want to touch on that a little bit later on, but obviously with the Miami situation, there's a lot of it's a fine line right now because with the way the league's rules are. They're here to favor the offense. It's like what Terrell Suggs said, the defenses are out here for show only. because obviously whatever move they make, there's a penalty, they're scrutinized. But I like James. I like James Hedebo's passion and his physicalness, and obviously with I like how Greg Little was saying, like, oh, they accused of him as choking and he got the personal foul. I mean, but that's what you need. I mean, obviously the Ravens are frustrated. It's a divisional opponent, and I mean, what it comes down to is gameplay. You got to be physical. You got to be mean. You got to want it. You got to be hungry. And with Marlon Brown adding that dimension on offense, being a big, tall receiver, physical, I'm telling you, right, Marlon Brown from the onslaught was going to be a weapon, and I love the kid. I like the addition of James Hedebo back there, headhunting and knocking heads. I mean, I don't blame him. I mean, obviously, the game is meant to be played physical and dirty. It's a man's game. It's men running around with equipment on. You're trying to separate man from the ball. That's what the game is about. And I think if they bring that back, I mean, I miss the days where the phrase was the vaunted Ravens defense. I loved it. I loved it that people were afraid to play us because all our defense, I mean, obviously, Big Ben, that's the hardest hit I've ever had in my life, and the quarterbacks are getting smashed, and we're putting people on stretchers. I mean, obviously, I don't condone anything like bounties or anything, you know, to get anything I believe in, too. But, you know, obviously, you know, when you're hitting hard, that sends a message to the other players, and I think what it has to do is it resonates. It resonates in gameplay. You know, can we be physical again? Because right now I think this team's too soft up front, and it doesn't look like the offensive line's hitting anybody. It looks like they're getting pushed off the ball. It's like being a wussified offense. It's let's hide the ball, let's sit back, and then they're playing patty cake with the guy across from them, and then, as you know, the guy just bull rushes them, just get out of my way, and they're coming after number five. I mean, it just doesn't look like that they don't have any protective instincts, and I agree with you on both points. Marlon Brown and James Hedebo add that dimensions on each side of the ball that we need to see more of. I mean, we miss it with Bolden. Derek Mason added that back in the day. It's just, I miss that, man. I just wish that it comes back, and it comes back soon, because I just feel like it's almost like watching our team is boring, and I hate to say that, but I'm being truthful. I'm not excited to see defense out there because they're going to hit somebody, and the offense is out there making plays and getting first downs, moving the chains, and having methodical, no-mistake offense. It's just, you know, we know Flacco's going to be running for his life. Ray Rice can't run the football. We're going to be shotgun. They're going to look to pick the ball off. I mean, it's just predictable football, and I just want to stay away from that.
Yeah, so that's something we do have to worry about. We don't want to be predictable. We don't want people to see what's going on, but we kind of already reached there, especially with the running game with Ray Rice. I mean, they know what he's going to do before he can. So let's quit talking about the past. Let's look forward to the Cincinnati Bengals game next week. We're starting a new trend here. We did it on the last episode. We're going to keep it going here, and this is a brand new tailgate Raven song. I think it'll be a great song that'll go along with your tailgate that you're going to be enjoying on Sunday down at M&T Bank, maybe in Lot H, maybe one of the other ones. This is another Baltimore-based band, Playground Etiquette, with their song Stand Up. So make sure you're listening to this one loud, and check out Playground Etiquette. Turn it up!
Stand up and shout, cause that's the only way they'll hear you. Let them know. Never give up, for
All right. I hope you dug Playground Etiquette, and that was our song, our tailgate song of the week. Make sure you check them out. They're releasing their new album, La Marionette, in January, and they're having a CD release party at the Metro Gallery January 18th, and that's presented by Pop Riot Music Group. So go check out Playground Etiquette. They are on Facebook, and you can check out plenty more of their music as well over there. So great band based in Baltimore. You got to love the Baltimore-based band. So let's talk a little bit about the Cincinnati Bengals. Like we've hinted at, we're going to be at the M&T Bank Stadium. We're going to be there live in our normal seats, going to be tailgating, listening to some Playground Etiquette while we tailgate as well. But let's talk about these guys. Now, we talked about it before the season started, the Cincinnati Bengals. We saw it on HBO's Hard Knocks. This was going to be a team to watch out for. This was a great team. And right now, they're ranked higher than the Ravens, and they should be. What do the Ravens have to do to really equalize this team? Because this is a big divisional game. If the Ravens are able to come out with a win against the Cincinnati Bengals this week, this is at least a huge step in the right direction.
Well, they got to get back to the basics. I mean, obviously, running the football and taking care of it, no turnovers, no. You remember, but no fumbles. I mean, you look back on the Tandon Doss drop on the kickoff. There are 7 points. I mean, we would have won the game if not for that. So just, you got to stop with the stupid mistakes. The crowd's going to help. We're going to help provide that spark, that edge. I think they need to come out playing quick, playing fast-paced, firing the ball away. And they need to neutralize the playmakers. They need to put pressure on Andy Dalton, make him beat you. If you make him beat you, they deserve it. But don't let him sit back there and have 5, 6, 7, 8 seconds and go, oh, there's AJ Green. Bro, touchdown. You got to get pressure. We have to just keep applying pressure all day, all 4 quarters, all 15 minutes, every quarter, every second, and don't give up the big plays. I mean, how many yak yards did the Browns receivers have? And obviously that yards after catch. It's they would catch the ball, and then they would break tackles and run 15, 20, 30 yards up the field. And it was just really irritating. You got to stop them. You stick on your guy. Even if they catch it, just neutralize it. Keep them to that catch and just tackle them. You just got to have fundamentals. Hard tackling, playing hard-nosed defense, playing methodical offense, blocking, blocking, blocking. The keys of the game are going to be, can we handle the fundamentals and can we be fixed? Because what it comes down to, obviously, I know you said stop talking about the past, but one thing that really made me really irritated is you're telling me that the Ravens had 2 weeks to prepare for the Browns, and that's the best we had on Sunday. That's uncalled for, and I think the Ravens have more did what they should, and I think they're going to save it for Cincinnati. So I think they just need to forget about what happened the last 8 games, concentrate all on Sunday. There's no game after this Sunday. It's almost like a one-game playoff. We need to concentrate all of our firepower on the Bengals. They know us. We know them. It's a divisional rival. We play them twice every year. This is our first meeting. It just comes down to playmakers. You know, Andy Dalton, A.J. Green, you know their running game is going to be physical. Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, Giovanni Bernard provides that other finesse punch that they have. Their tight ends, Gresham and Eifert, they're going to give us fits all day at the middle. I think it just comes down to execution of the game plan. You know, the defensive scheme, you know, play in your zone, stick on your man, and don't over-pursue, and can we please tackle somebody out there? Because it's just, these missed tackles got to stop, because I'm telling you right now, whoever's on A.J. Green on Sunday, you get one on coverage and you slip up, AJ Green's going to have 150 yards receiving plus. I can tell you that right now.
Yeah, this is going to be an interesting game. And the most important thing that you said right there, and I agree with you, is they got to treat this like every single Sunday is a playoff game. Every single Sunday is the Super Bowl for this team, because they're at the point right now where they can't just be like, oh, it's a loss, we'll get them later. This is it, man. You got to get the points when you can get the points. You're halfway through the season. This is where you got to shine. So hopefully we see the Ravens go back to that line of thinking of, let's just get some points on the board, not let's be flashy, let's make it look good, let's get a touchdown every single time, let's go for the long ball every single time. They really need to just get down the field and get a touchdown. If they can't get a touchdown, bring Justin Tucker up and have him do his thing. I mean, he even is having an off season himself, but Still, this team, like you said, has to go back to basics, and they have to win. There's no other way to put it. This team has to win going forward. There is no other way to go. If you're going to lose another game, if you're going to lose to a team like the Bengals, then you're going to not only say goodbye to any chance going to the Super Bowl, any chance going to the playoffs, but you're looking at the division just slipping through your fingers and letting the Bengals not only lead, which they are doing now, but running away with that ball and going down the street and not inviting you to play anymore. So they're going to be in their own kind of league there. They're going to easily win the division without the Ravens putting up a fight. So hopefully by this Sunday when we're there live, hopefully being back at the bank, the Ravens will have a little bit more energy. They'll have a little bit more fire in their bellies, and hopefully the team will help them realize that they're there to play and that they're there to win.
Great, man. I mean, it's right on the spot. If you play to win the game, it's going to come out and play right out for you. I mean, if they're going to play scared and they're going to play just games they've been playing earlier, I don't know what's going on out there. They're going to compete their own game. And since they're coming here and just clean our clocks out, we're going to say, oh, we're 3-6. What's going on? This team sucks. Well, it's apparent why we suck. So let's just get back to the drawing board, forget all these 8 games are played. Let's go. I mean, it just needs to come down to just play Ravens football. Have fun out there. They just need to just let loose. Obviously, it helps. I heard Jacoby Jones just say that. You know, obviously, being back home, it helps get back from home crown. And maybe that's a spark, but he said, obviously, it's momentum. You get one win, it could start there, and it could start a spark of a 2-3-4 win game winning streak, and you're right back. I mean, if they just get the 500, who knows? But you just got to take care of business starting Sunday. I mean, if you don't take care of business, you're 3 games under. You might as well just, it's just, wow. You know, it's been a season, but again, we're still Super Bowl 47 champions at the end of any day. You know, what happened last year, we'll always savor that and remember it for the rest of our lives. No one can take that from us. So obviously, no matter what happens, always say, but still, we're the defending champions, and it just feels good to say that we were Super Bowl 47 champions, not just removed less than 9 months ago. So, you know, it just feels good. I mean, obviously, we can't repeat all the time and get the playoffs. It shows you how hard it is in the NFL. So, that's why I told somebody, it's already depressing because it's week 90 NFL. The NFL season is already halfway over. We've already played 8 games. We have 8 more to go. Just savor every moment we can. While we're there Sunday, just take it in, whether it's first quarter, second quarter. Never wish it goes fast, because it does go fast. I mean, when you're having fun during these games and while you're watching them. So I want to say that to you, the fans, and everybody out there. No matter how bad it gets or how good it gets in any seat, savor these moments, because they might not come again. I mean, obviously, you know, players come and go, but enjoy the moments. I mean, we had a great playoff run last year. It was great. We were champions. The parade was great. We have the trophy. Remember those moments, because obviously it gets bad. But obviously, we know on the flip side, obviously, being as Royals fans in this town, there will be struggles, but then it makes the successes that much better, because we know, we had a crappy year this year. Well, let's go back next year, revamp in the draft, and then we look forward to 2014, and then let's see what this team has. That's why you have to go through it. So I just wanted to at least get that message out there, and never lose faith. Ravens Nation, obviously, we're going to have our fair weathers come in and out. And obviously, they were up with the team last year, and obviously, people are jumping shit this year because, they suck, and I don't want to be associated with them. You should never be ashamed. We would be still doing these podcasts with enthusiasm, the same enthusiasm as we were champions, even if we were still 0-8 instead of 3-5. I mean, I don't really care. Records are records, but what it comes down to is enjoy these. We have 16 games every year. It's Ravens football. It's what we do. Art Modell brought this team here. We have 2 championships, all these playoff wins. A Super Bowl winning quarterback, a great head coach. No matter what anybody says, I love Harbaugh. I've been hearing reports, obviously, like, is he losing grip on the team? Is it getting old? It doesn't matter. I mean, just go out and have fun, whether you're a fan, whether you're a casual fan, whether you're hardcore, or whether you're players, coaches, or anybody out there. Just let's have fun, you know, whether it be rooting the team on, playing football, being in Ravens Nation right now. We need this more than ever. So it's come Sunday. I mean, let's go, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go. So, plenty of stuff going on in Baltimore. Good, bad, ugly, a little bit of everything.
yeah.
But I think we pretty much covered anything. Did we miss anything in this show?
Brandon, not a chance, man.
All right, not a chance. Well, if you want to hang out with Josh and I at the game this Sunday, make sure you tweet to us. If you disagree, agree, whatever, let us know. Tweet to us. I am on Twitter at BrandoCash. Josh, where can people tweet at you?
They can always find me in tweeting, and they can always reply me at ItalianGQ52.
Go over to Facebook and like the Call Podcast page. It's facebook.com/TheCallPodcast. Like us over there. We'll let you know whenever a new show comes out. And also like the Brando Cash Network on Facebook, facebook.com/BrandoCash. You'll get news about this show and all the other shows on the Brando Cash Network, like What the Puck, since the Capitals are doing pretty well right now. Check them out. And, hey, let people know about the show and let them know that there are plenty of ways to listen to the Call. We are available on iTunes and Stitcher, so it doesn't matter if you have an iTunes or an iPhone or an Apple device or an Android device. We are available no matter where you're at. If you're at a desktop at work and you want to listen to the Call, go to thecall.brandocash.com. All of our old shows are archived there. So if you are down at the dumps about how the Ravens are doing and you want to listen to that Super Bowl championship episode, Easy enough to do. Find it there. That's where you'll find it, thecall.brandocash.com. Now make sure you let people know that you're a fan of The Call and that they should listen as well. So be social with the show. Let everybody know and tell them on Facebook, on Twitter, on Tumblr, on Pinterest, on Vine, on Instagram, on Reddit. Anywhere that you are social on the web, let people know that they should listen to The Call as well. So this Sunday, it's the Ravens and the Cincinnati Bengals. Come let us know where you're going to be at so we can stop by and steal some of your food at your tailgate. Hopefully you're enjoying Playground Etiquette, who we played earlier today. But Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Absolutely, Brandon. Great, great, great show. Listen, fans, this is it. It's not pretty. It's ugly out there. But it sure is Ravens football, no matter what wins or losses. We're going to need 70,000 strong. We need no voices on Monday because we need to leave it all in the stands and on the field as well, because it's going to be a battle. The natty's coming, and we're going to give them some natty, because you know what? We're going to be having our natties during tailgate, and we're going to be rooting hard and sending natty out here with a loss, because we're not going to let the Bengals come in here, are we? No. And we need to get back to playing Ravens football. Come on, fans. You got to be there. It's going to be a good time. Ravens on 3-1-2 Ravens. Let's fly high on Sunday.
This has been a production of the Brando Cash Network. Music mixed and produced by DJ Wolfman.